bless them. Today our scripture readings will be short passages from the book of Romans, Galatians, and Ephesians. We begin first looking at Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Then from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, in Christ and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Finally, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. The word of the Lord. Amen. Well, today is our final sermon in our series, Mountain Moving Prayer. I've loved this series. I've enjoyed walking through it with you, and there's been so many things that I've grown. You know, I grow when I preach. God teaches me new things and renews things in me that I've known before. Hopefully you've experienced the same thing. Today, I want to share several different approaches to prayer. One or more of these may be very helpful to you. Others may not be as helpful, but it's good to be aware of all of them, for each one of them have been taught and practiced by Christians for literally centuries. I'm again seeking today to be very practical as we wrap up on prayer and lay out some things to you that some will be new and some you would have known for years. Over the years, I've heard various speakers or I've read various books that will lay out a particular method of prayer. And sometimes they give send the message that this is the way to pray. And this is the way everyone should pray. And I've always wanted to draw near to the Lord, and so I would try various approaches to prayer. And sometimes I found a particular approach very valuable. Sometimes an approach that had worked well for someone else didn't work well for me. It felt a little bit like Saul's armor. You know, it fits somebody, but that somebody's not me. Sometimes an approach to prayer would fit for a season, and that season would come to a conclusion. And then maybe I would use that approach to prayer again. So there's prayers and ways of praying that can be right and beneficial for certain seasons and won't fit other seasons. I've come to realize that how we have fellowship with God is very personal. And it's unique to each one of us. Each person needs to discover their own style and not try to fit into someone else's style, someone else's armor, so to speak. And we need to find our own rhythm. What works for one person might not work for another person. And so we need to discover that. Sometimes something that's worked in the past isn't working for you right now. But it'll work again in the future. So we need to be free. And so today, I want to look at several ways to pray that have been meaningful for believers over the years. Each one can be deeply nourishing for a believer. And some may work, others not as well. Some you'll try for a while. See what nourishes you in your walk with the Lord and embrace that. Sometimes a combination of approaches to prayer are valuable. Be flexible. This is a relationship, and you can't put a relationship into a box. So let's begin today with a fundamental approach or a principle about prayer that applies to every style of prayer. So let's turn to God's Word and first of all discuss praying with freedom and confidence. In Ephesians, Paul shares how through that we as people were once dead spiritually. We were dead in our sins, separated from God. But because of His great love for us, He sent His Son to die for our sins, to wash us clean, and to reconcile us to Him. And He raised Jesus from the dead and has given us the right to participate in that everlasting life of the Lord Jesus Christ. At one time, we were estranged from God because of our sin. But Paul writes, Ephesians 2:12, that we were without hope and without God in the world, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We've been reconciled to God, brought near to Him. We've been joined together with Christ. We've received His life. And Paul says in chapter 2, verse 6, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. We're seated with Christ. You're part of God's family. You've been joined with Christ. Jesus is God's Son. Now in Christ, you're a son of God. You're a child of God. And you're seated with Christ in the heavenly realms with God the Father. God is your next door neighbor. No, He's more than that. He's your roommate. He's with you all the time. And you're the room. He's in you. And so He's always there. And we can approach Him. Paul says, this is one of our verses in Ephesians 3:12, in Him, in Christ, and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Once we were far away, we were God's enemies. To come into God's presence, a holy and a God was terrifying. He was dangerous. We were under God's just judgment. But through the death of Christ, all of our sins have been washed away. We become part of God's family. And we can come before Him with freedom and confidence. That word freedom means boldness. It's sometimes translated that way. Outspokenness, frankness. It refers to freedom in expressing ourselves before God. You can come before God and openly express your needs without fear. He's our Father. So we can come with a boldness of expression. It says we also come with confidence. And confidence isn't referring to self-confidence. Confidence is referring to a certainty in someone or something because that person or thing is reliable. So it's confidence in what it's confidence in God whom we approach. We believe that because we have become His children and He's our Father, we can come right before Him, express whatever we need with boldness, be outspoken before our God, and have confidence because He's good and loving and faithful and all-powerful, that He will hear us and answer us. We come with boldness, with freedom and confidence. There's one more thing. Another passage in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Now this word freedom is a very different word than the one we just saw in Ephesians. In Ephesians 3:12, freedom, the Greek word, refers to freedom of expression. Here in Galatians, the word refers to freedom from bondage. Before Paul became a Christian, he was a legalistic Jew. And he was burdened down with all kinds of legalisms, all kinds of regulations, rules upon rules as he tried to earn God's favor. But he's saying that through Christ and the unconditional love of God, we've been set free from all those legalisms. We don't need to try to earn God's favor. We are under His favor. You've been set free for freedom. So you can live before God in freedom. Don't let those legalisms be burdened upon you again. You know, so often new people come to Christ and they're so excited about the new walk with the Lord. They feel this newfound freedom in their life. And well-meaning Christians, us, we say, well, now that you're a Christian, you need to come to church every week. And they need to, but you need to do this. You need to pray every single day. You need to give. You need to do this. And we good things that they need to learn with time. But so often, the shoulds get put down upon us. And we start trying to strive to please God. And it could be true of a way of prayer. every day at this time in this way, and you know, your prayer time should include this and do it in this way, and you're trying to do all these things, and the legalism will kill the spontaneity of the relationship. So don't let the yoke of legalism be again put upon your shoulders. When you approach God in prayer, come with boldness before your Father, with confidence that He will hear and answer, and come with freedom, letting Him guide you according to your unique personality into the way of prayer that works best. So with all this in mind, let's look at several approaches to prayer that, used in freedom, can be very valuable as we approach God in boldness and confidence. Now, first of all, different ways of praying is praying the facets of prayer. Now, we talked about this last week. I just want to review these because they can be very valuable. Six facets of prayer. We discussed the fact that, prayer is like a beautiful gem, like a diamond with many different sides, many different facets. And there's certain facets that over the centuries Christians have recognized are a valuable part of prayer. They're part of the fullness of prayer. And we looked at those, and we used the acrostic facets to help us remember them. First of all is focusing. I'm not going to go in depth. You can listen to last week's sermon if you weren't here. But focusing, spending a few minutes stilling our hearts before God. Then from that we move into adoration, beginning to praise God for who He is. And then confession, confessing our sins and receiving His forgiveness and getting cleansed, removing all those barriers between us and God so we feel the freedom to come before Him. The barriers are removed in Christ. And then just enjoying Him, enjoying His presence, His freedom, His forgiveness. And then beginning to give Him thanks for all He's done in our lives. And after that period of thanksgiving, adoration, prayer, confession, we move into the supplication, bringing our needs and the needs of others before God. And this is a great time to use the Lord's Prayer as an outline for prayer. It includes many of these facets. And as we mentioned before, again, no legalism. The order has logic, but you don't need to follow the order. And there'll be days when you'll go back and forth, and I mean, it's freedom. It just helps you remember and think about the things, the areas that are valuable in prayers. And as you come in adoration and confession and thanksgiving and supplication, one wonderful way of praying is praying the Scriptures. By praying the Scriptures, I simply mean turning to a passage in the Bible and turning it into a personal prayer. I'll often do this while I'm reading the Bible, going through my daily Bible reading. I'll come to a passage that strikes my heart, and I'll pray it. So, for instance, Ephesians 4:1. As I read that, as a prisoner for the Lord, Paul says, "And I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." I say, "Lord, may I be worthy of the high calling you've given me in Christ Jesus. Lord, I want to ask that," this is verse 2, "Lord, that I might be humble, I might be gentle with my loved ones, and be patient. Lord, give me a patience with them, give me a patience with myself. And may I bear with one another in love, Lord, not become frustrated. And may I make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in my marriage, in my church, with other believers, in that bond of peace. May we experience peace together in relationship." You see how that just turn that passage into a prayer. And one thing that's great about praying the Scriptures is that you know you're praying according to God's will, because it's His Word. The Psalms are the biblical prayer book. Almost any psalm can be turned into a praise or a prayer. Just example, Psalm 1. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. Oh Lord, may I not walk in step with this world, Lord, or be caught in the way of sin. But let me delight in your ways, Lord. And let me think about them day and night, meditate on them day and night. Lord, may I be like a tree planted by water that just sucks up your Spirit, and may it fill my being that I might yield a fruit. May my leaf not wither, Lord." Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2. And then Psalm 96, a psalm of praise. beginning at verse 9, just an example. Lord, I worship you in the splendor of your holiness. I tremble before you. Lord, you reign. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and everything in it. Lord, the fields are jubilant. Let me rejoice and be jubilant before you. Let all creation rejoice before you. For you, Lord, you come to judge the world in righteousness and faithfulness. You will make all things right. To you be glory. Hallelujah. Praying the scriptures. Now, another way to use scriptures in prayer is to meditate upon the scriptures. Now, I'm not talking about Eastern mysticism or New Age meditation. Those are weird. I'm talking about a form of meditation that Christians have practiced for centuries. And that is coming before God and reading a passage in the Bible and pondering it, reading it over and over. Again, no legalism, just however God guides you. For instance, we love because he first loved us. It's just a short little passage. Being to pray it and ponder it, and if you're meditating, think about, Lord, I love you. I love you. You're wonderful. And you first loved me. Thank you, Lord, that you reached out. And because you first loved me, your love is unconditional. I just rest in your love. Because you've loved me so much, my heart overflows with love to you. Your love was first. Thank you, Lord. And you just ponder, what does it mean to love the Lord? What does it mean that he loves me? And you can pray it. You can just ponder it. It goes deep in your heart. It's a form of prayer. One thing I found to be really valuable is to enter into a story, for instance, a gospel story about Jesus. In my imagination, just read that story slowly and imagine myself in the story, watching it. Now, God has given us our imagination. We just need to use it rightly. And seeking to experience what the people would have experienced in that story. For instance, Mark 10, verse 17 to 22, the story of the rich young ruler. A man comes to Jesus and asks what he must do to be saved. And one time I was meditating upon this passage and just pondering it. And in the passage, Jesus shares with the man what he would have expected. You need to obey God's law. And the man says, I've done that since I was a young man. Then the Bible says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. I just pictured myself standing near Jesus. I was watching this, the young man and Jesus talking to each other. And I looked in Jesus' eyes and I saw the love, the tenderness he had for this man. He cared for him deeply. And that struck me. And then Jesus said, one thing you lack. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven. And then come follow me. In the past, I kind of thought, well, that was kind of extreme. But I began to realize, no. Jesus loved this man so much, he was inviting him to live with his disciples, to be with him every day. And Jesus love this man so much. He was saying, I want every barrier between you and me and us having time together to be removed. I saw it in a whole different light. And I saw Jesus' heartbreak when the man walked away because he was wealthy and he couldn't do that. He didn't think he could. There's a painting called The Miracle of Pentecost, where they have all the characters of the Bible. It's a huge painting. It's down in Texas somewhere. Everything's big in Texas, right? And the rich young ruler's in the picture as someone at Pentecost. We don't know that, but I love that. Because his heart, you know that the words of Jesus kept on working in his heart. And then I just sensed the Lord look at me and say, Paul, will you give up everything to follow me? And he wasn't talking about, giving up my house. He was talking about this, removing every barrier to be close. Meditating upon the scriptures. It's a wonderful way to pray. turning a passage into a prayer or praise, or meditating deeply on a passage and pondering it. And sometimes imagining yourself being right there and letting the Lord speak to you. It's powerful. Now, another way to pray is praying written prayers. Now, this wasn't something I was familiar with most of my life, though it's a big part of the traditions that are the Lutheran traditions and Anglican and Catholic traditions. And for most of my life, not being familiar with this, I just thought that when people prayed written prayers, it was just religiosity. You know, empty words. Just praying it by rote, week after week. And you know, if you pray written prayers by rote, not thinking about them or entering into them, they are of no value. But if you enter into that prayer from your heart, they are of great value. And there are wonderful written prayers out there. I mean, hundreds of them, if you know where to find them. And I'll give you a resource in a moment. That can be valuable. And I've had times where I've prayed these written prayers and found them to be very impactful in my life. Classic prayers that have been a great aid in my prayer life. I found that they broadened my prayers. I prayed for things that I wouldn't normally think about to pray for that were important. They would help focus my prayers. One rich source of prayers is the Anglican Book of Common Prayer. The Anglican Church in North America did an updated version in 2019. And you can download it online, but again, I'll give you a simpler resource, but that is a great resource. In that book, you can, there's a way that they have a daily, what they call a daily office, which, you know, I never heard of the daily office before, just about 5 years ago. What is that? Well, the daily office is, I don't know where they get the word office from. It doesn't mean like an office at work. It's referring to a period of time, and there's traditionally four daily offices. There's morning, noontime, evening prayer, and then compline, which is right before you go to bed. And they have prayers for each one of these times, a whole pattern of prayer that includes psalms and prayers and the Lord's Prayer and the Apostles' Creed. And for some people, it's very enriching. To go all the way through it wears me out sometimes. I'll skim through portions of it and go through other portions of it in depth. And one way that you can do that, it's a lot easier than trying to figure it out in the Anglican Book of Church Prayer, is to go to the North American Church, the Anglican Church of North America, has put out a phone app available on both Android and iPhone. It's something called the Daily Office. If you go to the app and just put in Daily Office, it'll come up. There's a little symbol for it, a little red cross on a red background. And there's also a website for that, dailyoffice2019.com, referring to the version of the Book of Common Prayer that's used. It can be a really neat way to focus and guide your prayer time. And in the Daily Office, there's all these little prayers, usually four or five each day, that are called collects. Now, again, this was completely out of my wheelhouse. Have you ever heard of collects? Some people have. I hadn't. A collect is a little prayer, and it's called collect because the prayers are often prayed to when God's people are gathered together, and they are the collective prayers of God's people. And these little prayers use a very simple pattern. It looks like this. First, there's an address to God, our Heavenly Father, something like that. And then an acknowledgement of one of God's qualities, and then a petition of prayer based on that quality. Then aspiration, which is an expression of our longing, what we hope to come to pass as we bring this petition to the Lord. And then a declaration in Jesus' name. Amen. Something like that. So here's an example of a collect that has two petitions and two aspirations. So it's, they're not all exact. This has a repetition there. It goes like this. Just listen to this prayer. Almighty God, you alone gave us the breath of life. And you alone can keep alive in us the holy desires that you impart. Next slide. We beseech you, for your compassion's sake, to sanctify all of our thoughts and endeavors, that we may neither begin an action without a pure intention, nor continue it without your blessing. And grant, having the eyes of our mind enlightened to behold things invisible and unseen, that we may in heart be inspired by your wisdom, in work be upheld by your strength, and in the end be acceptable as your faithful servants through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? Recollects. Now, I've often found great value in using hymns and songs that are prayers to God, and just praying that song to the Lord as a prayer to Him. There's so many of them that are so powerful. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. I'll just open my hymn book, or I have a prayer book that I'll pray it from, or just as I am. That's a song that has been so relevant so many times in my life. I come to the Lord and I just say, Lord, I come to you just as I am, without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me, and that you bid me come to thee, Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yes, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, every one of those six verses, man, it just grabbed my heart. Now, I've put together a resource for you, a prayer book for the Covenant Church Sheboygan. And actually, several years ago, I put together a prayer book for my own use. And in it, I have a shortened version of the daily office that has a two-week cycle. And many classic prayers are in there, things like the Prayer of St. Francis and the Serenity Prayer in its full version, and many, many others. There's about a couple of dozen hymns and songs that are great prayers. All the prayers of Jesus and the Apostles are in that prayer book, as well as all of the collects that are found in the Anglican Book of Common Prayer. And by the way, when I talk about the Anglican Church in North America, we need to differentiate. That's not the same thing as the Episcopal Church, which has kind of gone off the rails. And even the Anglican Church in England has kind of gone off the rails a little bit. Some of you may know about that. Though their classic material is still good. Their Book of Church Order is still solid. They just somewhat lost their way. Not the Anglican Church in North America. They're solid. So I've updated this book. I spent quite a bit of time updating it for you. And I'm making it available to all of you. So what I'm going to do is this week we'll send out an email to all those in Breeze with an attachment of this in Microsoft Word and also in a PDF format. And it has all kinds of hyperlinks in it, so you can click and go all through the book really rapidly. And there's the prayer times. Some of you, as you try it, you'll really find value in it. It's just a lot of resources all in one place. Now, some of you guys don't do computer stuff, and so we can actually have this printed for you. Kathleen can print a copy for you, but it's 250 pages, okay? So we'll need to charge you maybe like $5 to have that printed. Printed on both sides, it'll be just 125 pages. We can punch holes for you, and you can have it in notebooks. So let Kathleen know. If you want to do that for all of you, you'll be receiving the email and the resource later this week. The next wonderful way of prayer is praying in the Spirit. Now this one is unique in that all of our prayers should be in the Spirit. Romans 8:26 says this. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know how we ought to pray, or what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And in Ephesians 6:18, it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Both of these verses speak about praying in the Spirit. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Well, first of all, praying in the Spirit is praying with the guidance and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we enter our prayer time and we just begin to, you know, rattle off our requests. We talk about that need to focus. And part of what we do in that focus time, we still our hearts, we set our eyes upon the Lord. We invite the Holy Spirit into our prayer time to guide us. Christians are born again by the Spirit. We are immersed in the Spirit. He dwells within us. As we yield to God more fully, we can be saturated by the Spirit, and guided by Him, and empowered by Him. That's what the Bible means by Spirit-filled. And our prayers can be guided and inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so Paul tells us in Romans 8, the Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. The Holy Spirit is guiding us, and He's bringing to mind the things that are of God, so that we, when we don't know how to pray, He inspires us in how we can pray. And it's in accordance with God's will, because it's the Holy Spirit speaking. Our prayer life can take on a new excitement as we come expecting the Holy Spirit, who's present with us and in us, to inspire and guide and empower our prayers. When I'm praying for others, praying for you, I don't always know what to pray for. I often simply ask the Holy Spirit to guide. And it's nothing fancy. It's when something comes to my mind, I'll pray for it. Or I might pray a portion of a biblical prayer. If something comes to my heart, I'll pray into that. I trust the Lord to guide. And that for my own requests, too. Sometimes I don't know how to pray for myself. And I just say, Lord, show me how to pray. Another way of praying by the Spirit's unction is praying without words. In this text of Romans 8:26, it says, the Spirit intercedes for us through wordless groans. We can pray without words. Clearly, when Paul talks in Ephesians about praying with all kinds of prayers and petitions, he has words in mind, at least some of the time, most of the time. But sometimes we just be still before God. Sometimes it's just being with God. That's prayer. In a relationship, we need to communicate, but sometimes the communication is just being together. And you don't need words. And sometimes we just need to be before God. Another way to praying without words is to bring a need before God and just lay it before Him. Say, Lord, this burden is on my heart, and I don't know what to do about it. Lord, take this. Or, Lord, my son, you know what he needs. I lay him before you. Take my son and work in his life. And I'll allow my heart for my son to be presented before God. And I feel that inner longing for his best. And that's prayer. Wordless groans. Now, another way that we can pray when we don't know how to pray is by praying in an unknown language. And this is familiar with some and not to others. And someday I'll talk in depth about this. I won't have time right now, but 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. God can give an unknown language to you, a spiritual language, that you can pray in, and you don't know in your mind what you're praying, but your heart senses what you're praying for. And so what shall I do, Paul says? I will pray with my spirit, but I'll also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I also will sing with my understanding. So Paul's giving us a little insight into his personal prayer life. So he comes, and he has this unknown language that God has given him. He doesn't know what he's praying for with his mind, but he prays in the Spirit, so he's praying for someone, and he doesn't know how to pray. He prays out in this unknown language to the Spirit, and then as he prays, he moves to praying with his mind. And sometimes as you pray in the Spirit, You have a sense of what to pray for. And then you move back and forth. And then he says, I will sing with my spirit. So this unknown language, sometimes called speaking in tongues, is a gift that God gives that is used primarily for personal devotional time, for prayer and for praise. Both Tammy and I have had this gift for decades. And I got to tell you that it does not make you more spiritual. It does not make you perfect or sanctify you. It does not bring you to a higher level than any other Christian. There's no shortcuts to sanctification. But God does give it. And it's valuable if he has given it to you. And so to ask for it is a very valid thing and can be enriching to your life and prayer. More about that sometime. I know a lot of people are going, wow, I want to learn a lot more about that. We will someday. And then number five, praying through journals and lists. Tammy writes her prayers in a journal, and many people find this valuable. You know, she'll go back and see what she's written, you know, last year. Some people have made prayer notebooks in which they record their requests, and they've arranged it so they have a place to record the answer when it comes, which can be really encouraging as you look back. Some people will create prayer lists or multiple prayer lists, like a list for their family, one for their friends, one for public officials, and so on. And each time they come into the intercessory time of prayer, they'll pray through one or more of those lists. Some people who are intercessors have quite a system, and it works for them. I'm not a list prayer. It's not me. I do pray through certain things. The Lord will lead you and guide you in a way that is valuable to you. I have one pastor friend of mine who uses prayer beads. He does not pray the rosary. He's an evangelical pastor, but he uses the prayer beads like as a point of contact. So, like one set of the beads, you know, there's like big beads and little beads, and it would be he'll pray for each member of his family. And then the next set of beads, he'll pray for the leaders in his church. And he just uses it as a guide, and it really helps. He has ADHD, and helps him keep focused as he goes through those beads. There's actually Protestant prayer beads that you can buy online, and little books called Praying the Beads or something like that, that I actually purchased. I did it for a while. I'm not doing it right now, but I found it valuable. So, you know, things have seasons, right? And then finally, prayer, place, time, and posture. So all those things I just mentioned, they may be very valuable to you. You might need to listen to this sermon again because I'm putting some stuff out there fairly fast. But prayer, place, time, and posture. Having a rhythm of a time and place for prayer is generally important for most of us. It's like exercise. You know, Main Street Fitness, that's one of my places. You know, I go there a certain number of times a week, and I do it right in the morning. I have a rhythm, and by having that rhythm, it gets me there. I also do cross-country skiing. I'll try it today. We'll see how it goes. It's kind of melting. But, so that helps create a pattern that is life-giving. And the same is true in prayer. Having a set place of prayer can be valuable. For me, I sit in a rocking chair in front of the window in my bedroom looking out, actually, double French doors looking out into our backyard and nature. Tammy, she sits in the van. She's been doing this for decades. She'll go out, she'll park in the parking lot somewhere and just be with the Lord. It gets her away. When she's at home, there's all these things to do that distract her. Other people pray. You discover your place that works for you and a time that works for you. I tell people that everyone needs a little bit of time in the morning. For most of us, that may be our main prayer time. For you, if you're not a morning person at all, it'll be more of a short time where you get focused on the Lord and place your day before the Lord, and you'll have a more focused time in the evening. But have a time. It becomes regular. And in the posture of prayer, I just mentioned this, that we can have a posture of prayer that says to the Lord, we're serious about this time. And it can be sitting in a chair, but there's a reverence or a focus in the way that we're sitting. We're not just kind of like, you know. laid out on the couch, half asleep. You know, we're sitting up, we're focused, we're thinking. For some people, kneeling is right. I will go back and forth between kneeling and sitting in my chair. Sometimes I lay on my face before the Lord, which is a biblical way of prayer. Lifting your hands to the Lord to say, I'm open to you, Lord. Or even as I'm sitting in my chair, just opening my hands as I pray in a posture of openness and receptivity to something about our physical actions help us connect because we're a whole person. And so all these things are things to just see, to discover a rhythm that is right for you. So to sum up all that we've said, pray with freedom in the Spirit. Pray with freedom in the Spirit. Discovering and practicing the styles of prayer that best enable you to connect with God in an authentic and consistent way. It's very personal. But the practicing some of these ancient patterns of prayer can enrich your prayer time. The facets of prayer can enrich your prayer time. In all of it, though, let it be with freedom and in the Spirit. And you may come before the Lord and find that life-giving presence day by day. Let's come before Him right now. Lord, we hunger and we thirst for You. And we long for a vibrant walk with You, and we thank You for the walk that we have in Christ. And Lord, I want to ask Your blessing upon Your people here, upon all Your people, that they might receive a deeper fullness of Your Holy Spirit. They might find a delightful rhythm of prayer where they come before their God every day, the one to whom they've been reconciled. They're part of Your family. They might come in boldness, confidence in You, in freedom. Lord, be moving among us. We long for an ever-deepening walk with You, and we ask You to guard and protect us from wandering minds, from our own brokenness, even as You heal us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.